Escape to summer with Victoria's Secret's just arrived collection of swim and other sun ready silhouettes.
Pack your bags with new styles from the Very Sexy collection, like the made to be seen Very Sexy push-up bra in on-trend hues like green, citron, and black shine.
Rewind to the future with the VS Archive swim collection, inspired by Victoria's Secret's classic looks from the 90s and early 2000s.
Plus, mix and match with their wide range of bikini tops and bottoms to find your dream suit.
Shop now at your closest Victoria's Secret store or online at victoriassecret.com.
This episode is supported by FX's Clipped, the scandalous story of the 2014 Clippers owner's racist remarks captured on tape and heard around the world.
The series charts the tape's impact on a dysfunctional basketball organization striving to win against their reputation as the most cursed team in the league, starring Lawrence Fishburne, Jackie Weaver, Cleopatra Coleman, and Ed O'Neill.
FX's Clip, streaming June 4th, only on Hulu.
As important as choosing the right destination when traveling is choosing the right travel partner.
Gene! Gene Fodor!
Gene, what's good?
But be careful, because the worst trips result when two partners have two different agendas.
The CIA really need your help, Gene.
Freeze, Americano! Huh? Oh!
Gene, run!
Listen to Fodor's Guide to Espionage on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Two Teas in a Pod with Teddy Mellencamp and Tamara Judge.
Hi, guys. Welcome to another episode of Two Teas in a Pod. And on this episode with me and Tamara, we will be talking about New York and
Salt Lake City,
which is not disappointing at all.
No,
unlike New York. sorry, did I say it out loud?
I know this. Okay, so
I was depressed. I'm sorry. I was literally depressed watching the reunion. It was like a therapy session.
No, it really was like a therapy session. Sai even said, "This feels like therapy. This is actually."
She
my
said,
first
"This is the first time that she's been to therapy." I mean, it was a legit therapy session. If they weren't crying,
they were screaming, but unnecessarily.
Yeah,
it was, but just not really in. Weird. It didn't. It starts out where Aaron asks Jessel if she grew up poor. Jessel says they grew up comfortable but lavish. Bryn laughs. Jessel says she shouldn't be made to feel ashamed for her upbringing. Jessel says while Aaron was at the ballet with Brad Pitt and Gwyneth, she was delivering newspapers with her mom.
Okay, that's all I can think about. Was she really at the ballet with Brad Pitt?
Probably.
Do you think so?
Do you feel like Jessel was downplaying her privileged upbringing, or do you feel like the women are just trying to find reasons to call on her for something?
Well, I definitely think that some of these girls had a very, very rough upbringing. Very rough.
But do you think Jessel is one of those people?
No, I do not. I think that she had a very normal life, it sounds like. Like, it wasn't, I didn't have food. I didn't have a house to live in. Like, some of these stories were really, really heartbreaking. I don't think that Jessel was at that level.
I feel like her way of trying to connect to other people is by sharing her experience. And sometimes it's maybe not the right circumstance. So then she gets heat for it. I don't know. I also was slightly confused by, I don't know, even the relationship that's formed between the women post-reunion. They've repeatedly talked about how the group of them have hung out minus Jenna.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't understand that. I don't know what's going on with Jenna. I had a DM conversation with her after our last podcast.
Oh, you did?
I did.
Why isn't she coming to BravoCon?
I didn't ask her that. But she reached out to me. She said she got a lot of DMs saying that we were talking about it on the podcast, and the same with Uber. You know,
oh, I don't know if that would be considered a reach out.
It was a little
bit
different than Uba, but it was in the same time frame of after the podcast. You know, when you're the first time being on TV, you take everything so serious. You know, and I always like to, we always say this, like, you're as good as this week's episode. That's it. If you, like, I purposely did not listen to the recap of Orange County because I knew I was, sometimes I was an asshole and I didn't really want to hear it.
Sometimes.
Yeah, all the time. All the time.
Sometimes also yeah. sounds like all the time. No, yeah, exactly. Kidding. I love you so much.
So it's like certain things like, you know, I just don't want to hear it. I don't want to. But Jenna was very sweet and nice. Very, very, very sweet. And very, like, she didn't like yell at me or anything. She's like, she actually thanked me for sticking up for her.
Yeah, I mean, I felt like the entire reunion, it really felt disjointed. I think that's what it was. It was like, it really narrowed down like, okay, we're going to talk about you right now, then you right now. And then every time any other housewife tried to chime in, it was like, no, this is my segment. This is my time.
Yeah, I need you to do something for me.
What?
I need you to call Dorit right now and ask her if crackling hag is is a British thing.
Why don't we call PK?
Okay, call PK. Crackling hag.
Cackling.
Cackling. Oh, cackling, not crackling. Cackling hag. Is that seriously a British thing? Oh, you're going to ask him. Oh, it's happening right now.
Hi, Teddy.
Hi, PK. You're actually on Two Teas in a Pod. This is just a random question. You're on air.
That's not very nice, Teddy. No,
I know. There's no warning.
I asked.
It was Tamara. We want to know in British humor, is cackling hags a saying that people say?
Say what? What's the saying? Cackling?
Cackling hags.
No.
Shit. So they were lying on on the Real Housewives of New York reunion.
Listen, you can say cackling hags. It means like two old nasty women who are laughing away.
So it's not, there's no term of endearment
it's
here.
It's nothing endearing.
No, cackling hags is a terrible description.
Yeah. Oh, thank you so much. And we appreciate you, PK. And we look forward to recapping you as this season progresses on Beverly Hills.
PK, keep eating those potato chips.
We got really upset this last week.
I've got no intention of giving them up.
All right, enjoy that sour cream and onion. And we hope to see you soon. Thank you.
Venture out to salt and vinegar. They're the best.
I actually like barbecue.
I do too. I like them all. I like anything salty and savory.
Okay, so who was it that said that they researched and they heard that cackling hags was a term of endearment? Jessel says it.
Jessel says that cackling hag is a very normal thing to say in England. Well, but evidently, PK says different.
Well. Then we get into Psy, and this story actually, it really pulled at my heartstrings.
This was so sad.
You get to see a completely different side of Psy, where she says her mom suffered from mental illness and tried to treat it with alcohol. She says the police would call Psy to come pick her up from the hospital, or she would get arrested. Her mom lived with her for 3 months and would... Oh my gosh.
I know.
Get drunk in front of the kids. David said her mom had to go, so Psy had to throw her out. Psy says it was the hardest thing she's ever had to do, and she felt responsible for her death 3 months later.
3 months later. I mean, it's super sad, but I mean, do you understand David's perspective? I mean, what would you have done? Like Psy had said multiple times at the reunion that she put her in rehab. She put her in assisted living.
I feel awful for Psy.
Yeah.
It's really sad. I feel like what happened to her mother is terrible. I also hope she gets therapy. Yeah. I'm not sure that we need to keep seeing it on camera.
I think, you know, I've been writing hard for Psy because I see something in her that's a little bit broken. Somebody that is 100% a truth teller, but doesn't necessarily deliver her message with the best, you know, the best way. And I can relate to that. But you can also see like this hurt, sad person. And the only way that she knows how to fix things is to yell and scream.
Or shut down.
So you could see that now, understand it a little bit more because of what she went through with her mom.
Yeah,
like that's really sad.
And I also understand what David was doing. I mean, I think you have to have your boundaries when it comes to any sort of toxic relationship.
To move forward from that sadness, another sadness that breaks my heart. Andy said he got a lot of backlash for casting an influencer.
Also, but then they made it very clear that not everybody that says they're influencers are influencers.
Does that mean we're not influencers?
I don't think we are. I hate to be the bearer of bad news.
I used to make a ton of money doing sponsored posts.
I still do.
I do, but not the money 3 years ago. Not the money 3 years ago. I mean, I don't know. Mine was up there, up there. So now, not so much anymore.
Yeah. Well, I do feel like I need to go down the rabbit hole of size influencing a little bit.
And she is like, she was a legit influencer. That
not like us, tap the link for LTK to
no,
shop.
No, you can do as many tap the links for LTK. Doesn't mean that you are an influencer. She's literally doing, she was a not known person influencing. That's hard.
Yeah.
It's a hard job.
But then Andy asks Aaron and Bryn why their friendship is hot and cold. Bryn says that they are actually a lot alike. Aaron says she can trust that even if they fight, they still have an underlying mutual respect. Uba rolls her eyes and says the two of them are fake. Bryn says they are not fake. If she says she likes Aaron, she does. Uba asks where she can puke.
Why then, does Uba hate her cast? That's my question.
I think Uba hated the way that she came out on the show and is trying to come in and...
But she didn't come off bad. I didn't think she was bad. I thought she was sweet. She was nice. I didn't feel like she was a horrible human on the, but when she comes to the reunion, she's like, where can I puke? And I hate my cast and I call them hags and all these things. Like, why? Where's this coming from?
I think that this reunion actually shows that once somebody has a strong reaction to you, then you come back a different way. That's yeah. what they're all kind of showing a little bit. Even all of the apologies that all, and listen, I love an apology. I apologize when I make mistakes most of the time.
Not usually.
Not to Tamara, but in general, I can potentially apologize to someone, but it just
if
felt
you have
like
to.
If I'm being forced and
on.
Paid to. But the fact that
that's why I love you.
The fact that every single time they're like, sorry, I didn't mean to. I'm so sorry. The whole entire reunion was just like panicked apologies.
It was a very strange reunion. It was literally like a therapy session.
Then Andy asks if anyone thinks Uba overreacted about the phone prank. Jenna says that no one knew Uba's backstory, so without context, it felt very over the top. Jenna previously said she got a taste of Uba hot. Okay. This is the part that didn't really make sense to me because now Uba has also showed messages about this as well, that she didn't realize they were filming at Jenna's house. I can say with 100% certainty, I have never gone into filming and not realized I was filming.
Okay, Uba, you're filming a reality show and you're a cast member and you're going to the house and you would expect there to be cameras there. Like, that makes me question
what she's saying.
What she's saying and what she's thinking.
She's saying that there's no proof that Jenna didn't, you know, essentially blindside her by just inviting her over.
That is the weirdest comment I've ever heard at a reunion.
But also, I want to point out, and I don't know, I mean, maybe I'm wrong, but anytime I ever film something, not only was I invited by my friend, aka cast member, I also got an email confirming my time schedule for the next day.
Yes.
Escape to summer with Victoria's Secret. Pack your bags with just arrived swim, cover-ups, corset tops, and other sexy silhouettes.
When the sun goes down, opt for bold and blingy styles, like the made-to-be-seen very sexy push-up bra from the Very Sexy Collection. In on-trend hues like black shine, green, and citron.
For a glam statement, pair them with your favorite jeans and bring the heat.
Because life is better in a bikini. Rewind to the future with the VS Archives Swim Collection, inspired by Victoria's Secret's classic looks from the 90s and early 2000s.
For endless out-of-office options, mix and match with Victoria's Secret's wide range of bikini tops and bottoms that offer you every type of coverage, from full to cheeky to minimal. Now in this season's must-have shades and patterns.
Add the finishing touch with the limited edition Bombshell Escape fragrance, a free-spirited take on the iconic Victoria's Secret scent. dive into a vibrant blend of juicy guava, lush palms, and summer glow peony.
Shop now at your closest Victoria's Secret store or online at victoriassecret.com.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how, I don't know where, I don't know what. God, if you show me, God, if you tell me, God, no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, acclaimed comics writer and notorious Scott Summers hater, Rosie Knight.
Well, hello, Emmy-winning podcaster and totally unbiased Targaryen royal supporter, Jason Concepcion.
Rosie, somehow the X-Ray Vision podcast has returned. It feels so good.
It does. And like always, we'll be here every week covering the wide world of TV, movies, comics, and geek culture.
That's right. We'll be talking about Batman, heroes of that stature, and of course, we'll be inviting our friends in the industry to come geek out with us and share stories. We'll hear from TV writers, from actors, comics creators, pop culture critics, and more.
Nothing is off the table, because geek culture is pop culture, and we can't wait to share our love of it all with you every single week.
Listen to X-Ray Vision on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
How many years have you been on?
I've been on 13 years. 13 years, and I did one.
Did you ever not know you were filming when you were filming?
No! That is crazy. Crazy. You get an email, like you said, from Sally Ann.
Yeah.
Sometimes Gavin, sometimes Clark. And you say, tomorrow, we're going to pick you up at this time, and this is where you're going.
And if we're not picking you up, because there's not going to be drinking at the event, so if you're... Yeah. In New York, or you're walking, or you're whatever.
Yeah.
But you, either way, before you enter the room, you're mic'd.
You're mic'd. And you see camera guys. So that is just crazy to me that she would even say that.
But do you think this is all a way to kind of look at all the comments, see what everybody says? And then make excuses.
Yes, we talked about that last podcast, which got me in trouble.
Yeah.
We talked about that.
I feel like all it did was hurt Jenna's feelings and validate her insecurities about the way that she kind of grew up being not, like, you know, how Jenna has repeatedly said, oh, you know, I didn't have a, you know, like a close group of girlfriends. I always kind of felt this way.
I love Jenna.
I do too.
I love her. And I'm sad. I heard that she's not going to BravoCon. I don't know why. I hope she does go. I think that she's a staple to that show. I just want to see more. I'm so invested in her that I want to see more of her life.
And I got to say, I'm sorry. When Uba said to Bren, just because you don't know how to be loved, I felt sick to my stomach.
That was mean.
That was just straight up.
That was mean.
I realize that people can get upset and say things that they don't mean, but I don't imagine a situation where I would ever say to somebody that I cared about even the slightest amount, just because you're not used to being loved, or you don't know how to accept love, or any of that type of things. It seemed intentional.
Yeah, no, I will absolutely agree with you on that. But
and I think Bren doesn't take herself too seriously most of the time.
I feel like Bren does not take life serious. She's here to have fun. She has a great life. She is beautiful. She is loved. She is just, I'm here. Do I hit on your husband? Do I hit on your son? Like, well, where do I go next?
She's
just
funny.
Having fun in life.
And also, she
but
knows what
Rin
she's here
can
to
also
do.
Put people in the hospital, she said.
No, she actually said, I'll put them in the grave.
Oh, that's right. It's right. She says, I put them in the grave.
You
right?
put them in the hospital.
I put them in the funeral home.
The funeral home.
Funeral home. That's what she said. I mean, I know this is a shit show, but listen, there's so much that went on, right? So let's talk about the 45 minutes versus the 2 hours that Uba's phone was missing.
Who cares? It's just like when Dorit was 42 versus 47 minutes late. It didn't really matter.
Okay, so Uba says that she has to check in with family members to let them know that she's okay. And she couldn't do that for that 45 minutes to 2 hours.
Listen, when we
it is as brutal.
It's as brutal as Meredith. It's as brutal as Meredith's. Meredith. Why can't I say Meredith?
Her name is Meredith. Well, you have to keep this in. Her name is Meredith. No. What is it? Meredith. Spell
Meredith.
That. Every time I spell
Meredith.
Every time I spell it,
the
I have
rumors.
To spell check. I have to
the
spell check.
The rumors.
I love the way Meredith talks out of the side of her mouth.
I think I do too, actually. It's kind
no,
of
you
unfortunate
don't.
For me.
Only when you're highly intoxicated.
Well,
and that's a whole nother story.
Anywho, let's just finish this. Andy asks what they saw in the mirror during season 14. Sai says she realized she doesn't.
Where are you?
I've moved down to number 7. I'm done with this.
Oh, wait, you're on
I'm
a different page.
I'm done with New York.
I'm like, did you just skip a whole thing?
I did.
Okay,
I've moved
you're
right
over
along
New York.
From
Clearly, you are over New York.
Listen, I'm ready for Legacy.
I'm ready for BravoCon. Get me the fuck out of here.
Oh, yeah, I'm really ready. I'm sure I'll make a lot of friends.
I know.
Andy asked what they saw in the mirror during season 14. Sai says she realized she doesn't listen to others and that she needs to open her ears and her heart a little bit more.
Oh, isn't that cute? Well, Jenna says she is still learning how to be a big girl's girl.
She doesn't say
no,
big.
How to be a girl's girl. Okay, so Jenna says she is still learning to be a girl's girl and can now see herself being in a girl's group.
Erin says she took things very personally, so she is going to stop doing that and lighten up. No, you're not, Erin. You're not lightening up because
I love
I'm
Erin.
Not
Don't
lightening
change.
Up either.
Don't change, Erin.
She also says she has a big mouth and says things she shouldn't say. Erin, you're
okay.
My spirit animal. I feel
I
you on
her.
All levels.
Do you not see similarities between her and Heather Dubrow? I do. I'm saying it. I do. Even when she said, I gotta say things differently because nobody can understand me or something like that. I don't know. She's a younger version of Heather
Sorry,
Dubrow.
Do you see similarities between me and Heather Dubrow?
Yeah.
Shit! I knew it. Because I see similarities between me and
Heather.
Erin.
Yeah. Yep, I do. And I like Erin.
I mean,
like
I
you,
hope that
like
you
Heather.
Like me.
Well, you're not bad. You don't suck most of the time.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
Oh my God. Jessel says it was a moment for reflection on her marriage and she wants to be more gentle to her husband. When you're married for so long, you get into a comfortable atmosphere and it has been a wake up call. How long have they been married?
Listen,
3 years?
I don't want to hear the word gentle.
Are they been
with
married
somebody...
3 years? How long have they been married?
Gentle.
Okay, can somebody find out how long they've been married?
They've been married a pretty long time. Bren says she enjoyed watching herself, but she had already said that she didn't watch the season.
By the way, I hate these fucking questions at the end of a reunion.
But Bren said she didn't
watch. How did you feel the season was? Anything you want to say to anybody?
What
friends did you value the most?
Bren says she enjoyed watching herself and hopes Mimi got to see it too. They've been married 11 years.
11 years is, that's like you're still in like,
I am in the
honeymoon phase. My husband is still hot. We have fun.
Eddie, do you think you're still in the honeymoon phase? You guys are liars.
No, I swear to God.
Honeymoon phase?
Yeah. Yeah, I do. I feel like 10 years is not that long. How long have you been married?
I don't know. Long time. Over 10 years.
25 years? Oh, my God.
It's been 7 hours
and 16 days.
All right. A lot of fans were confused by Uba's performance. Too much therapy going on. And oh, they should all sorry. Get a second season.
Sorry. Did I not just say that? And then I got a tongue licking. No, not a tongue licking.
It's a tongue lashing.
Lashing from Uba.
Oh, my gosh. If we get
would have encouraged a tongue licking, but it was a tongue lashing from Uba because I said she was a little extra.
Escape to summer with Victoria's Secret. Pack your bags with just-arrived swim, cover-ups, corset tops, and other sexy silhouettes.
When the sun goes down, opt for bold and blingy styles, like the made-to-be-seen very sexy push-up bra from the Very Sexy Collection. In on-trend hues like black shine, green, and citron.
For a glam statement, pair them with your favorite jeans and bring the heat.
Because life is better in a bikini. Rewind to the future with the VS Archives Swim Collection, inspired by Victoria's Secret's classic looks from the 90s and early 2000s.
For endless out-of-office options, mix and match with Victoria's Secret's wide range of bikini tops and bottoms that offer you every type of coverage, from full to cheeky to minimal. Now in this season's must-have shades and patterns.
Add the finishing touch with the limited edition Bombshell Escape fragrance, a free-spirited take on the iconic Victoria's Secret scent. Dive into a vibrant blend of juicy guava, lush palms, and summer glow peony.
Shop now at your closest Victoria's Secret store or online at victoriassecret.com.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how, I don't know where, I don't know what. God, if you show me, God, if you tell me, God, no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello! Acclaimed comics writer and notorious Scott Summers hater, Rosie Knight.
Well, hello, Emmy-winning podcaster and totally unbiased Targaryen royal supporter, Jason Concepcion.
Rosie, somehow the X-Ray Vision podcast has returned. It feels so good.
It does. And like always, we'll be here every week covering the wide world of TV, movies, comics, and geek culture.
That's right. We'll be talking about Batman, heroes of that stature, and of course, we'll be inviting our friends in the industry to come geek out with us and share stories. We'll hear from TV writers, from actors, comics creators, pop culture critics, and more.
Nothing is off the table, because geek culture is pop culture, and we can't wait to share our love of it all with you every single week.
Listen to X-Ray Vision on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So we're back from the break and Eddie's asked to chime in. Yeah, go ahead.
Wait. We're back on the pod and you want to talk about our relationship?
Well, yeah, you were saying something really great about, being together for 10 years, honeymoon, stage.
Yeah.
And Teddy was like in awe, like she couldn't believe you. But I just want to say that our relationship is purely psychological because...
You mind fuck me?
No. Part of the relationship is that the reason it works,
yeah,
because one partner is psycho and the other one's logical. So
I knew there was a fucking.
I was like, is he's about to give us a motivational speech right now?
Wait,
it's
what?
Not the time.
It's not the time.
That's why it works.
So one of us is
psycho,
and that's you.
And one's
logical.
I have.
Oh, yeah.
Psychological. I'll be here through Thursday if you need me.
Really? Do you have your own panel at BravoCon too?
No. Working on it though.
Oh my God.
Maybe I'll get my own show.
So are you ready to poke your eyeballs out listening to us do the podcast?
Yes.
He hasn't listened to one thing that we've said.
You've been on your phone the entire time.
I actually found it a little bit rude because it was hard for me to focus when you weren't laughing at our jokes.
Yeah. Why are you not laughing?
I didn't want to make any noises. I didn't want to be rude.
Did you get any of our jokes?
What, not being rude? You just came up and called me psycho?
I was laughing inside. You guys are fun.
You are full of shit.
Because it's not even noon. Oh, yeah, it is. And you're drunk.
You need to start watching some of the shows, Eddie.
I hope.
Well, this is the first year that he's really watched Orange County.
Eddie really came out of his shell.
I enjoyed it because the cast was normal and down to earth. And yeah. Even though there was some drama, it was not fabricated and it wasn't fake.
Yeah.
Who do you think, if they were going to bring a past Orange County housewife back on, they should bring on?
I have no idea.
I don't know
who past housewives are.
You don't even know.
Well, you said there were people that were fake, so I'm wondering who, essentially, I'm trying to dig.
I really don't think there's a past housewife that needs to be brought back
at
all. I think that, you know, when you, it's kind of like, I mean.
Sorry, Vicky.
Well, no, she was on this season. So I'm not even talking about Vicky, but I would like to see you come on because you're friends with me, you're friends with Emily, you're friends with Shannon. Like, you have a lot of friendships here. So I would love, because we're so connected in so many ways, for you to come on to Orange County. And you have a house in Orange County.
Do you think, I have a question, Eddie. Do you think that me being on Orange County would ruin mine and Tamara's friendship?
No.
I asked Eddie, not Tamara.
Well, I answer for him.
She does.
We are married, and I'm the psycho one.
Yes. Can I have my balls
do
back?
Nope, they're in my purse, babe. Do you think that... I don't think that it would ever, because I feel like we're so aligned on so many ways. Like, we disagree, but we're logical enough that we can be like, I don't fucking believe you, or I think I don't believe that, or I would be like...
I think here's the way I truly feel about it. I think that... As long as I know that somebody deep down has a good heart.
Yeah.
And I feel like when push comes to shove, I've told you things that I wouldn't tell other people. And I really trust you.
Yeah.
And I think at the end of the day, that's what's important in these friendships. It's not about being in the vault or any of those types of things. But like, you are a good friend and you're supportive and you're able to be there for somebody.
Yeah. And it's funny because I get beaten up alive because, you know, this year, like, oh my God, she was your best friend. How can you? No, she was my best friend. That's not what happened. Me and Heather and me and even Emily, me and Shannon, we have deep, dark secrets that we have never talked about on this show. And we keep it. Would it be salacious or scandalous to talk about on the show? Yeah. But when you have a conversation off camera and I'm like, Teddy, don't repeat that. I know deep down in my heart, you will never repeat that. And there's the same thing that I've had with Shannon and Heather. Like, there's just certain things, like, they're off limits.
But I also think that in the same token, you know that you're there to do a job.
Yes, 100%.
And so you have to be yourself. And if you're not yourself, but there, I think there's a difference. Like, you and I can have really heartfelt conversations. I can be open and I know that you're not going to judge me for it.
Totally.
But also, if you're seeing somebody that's being not authentic to who they are on the show, it's really hard to watch.
Oh, trust me. I know. I lived it last season.
She calls him out.
I call him out. And then I get shit for it because everyone's like, oh my God, she's so sweet. I'm like, oh, just wait. Just wait.
If you could only hang out with one house husband from Orange County, who would it be?
Now?
Yeah.
Probably Emily's husband. That's it.
Shane, yeah.
Shane.
Yeah.
Yeah. His name is not, your name is not Tamara's husband.
It is.
Yeah. Yeah, we were with Shane and Emily
Yesterday.
And
no, Saturday.
Saturday night at a fundraiser. And they're just so normal. Like, so normal, so cool, so down to earth. Like, they're not tied up in the fame of it all. They don't get on Instagram and, oh, she did this to me and all this shit. And Shane doesn't get on podcasts and talk about the show. Like, they're so normal.
The only other guy that I've gotten along with was David. And that's, I mean, he's just a smart business
guy. When was the last time you saw him?
Gosh, it was a race in Monterey 2 years ago, Spartan race. We used to do Spartan races together.
But you talked, you sent him a message when his baby was born and stuff like that.
Yes, of course. Yeah. So we talk, you know, periodically. I went to Montana recently and he told me he just bought a place in Montana. So he invited me to stay there.
Is he still with the new chick or no?
I think so. I think they're still married. It's kind of up and down. They've had some issues, but yeah. Yeah.
Okay. All right. We have to get into Salt Lake City, but Edwin and Eddie will both be at BravoCon with us, and we want to get all their hot husband takes.
Oh, my God. It is the first time for both of them to be at BravoCon, right?
Yeah, we need it, because remember when Edwin believed that I was Samantha Bush getting in the physical altercation last BravoCon?
I have to tell you something. About 5 nights ago, I woke up. No, I was laying in bed. Eddie was asleep. And I literally started laughing out loud. I was thinking about BravoCon, because obviously it's coming up this weekend. And I thought about Edwin texting you how you're embarrassing him by getting into a physical altercation with a girl at BravoCon. And it wasn't even you. And I literally started laughing out loud. Like, are you? And then your dad texts you. And then
everybody, you guys, you don't understand.
It wasn't even her. It was somebody else.
The intervention that my family took on me last year at BravoCon for a physical altercation I was not in. It was not my human body. It's on video.
Two girls fighting, and Edwin's like,
so one person tweeted it. Like, one person tweeted, this is Teddy.
And then your
dad wasn't even at BravoCon. Then you're at a house party.
Then your dad is, you know, I am a public person, and this is very embarrassing. I mean, it was like, and she's like, it's not me. It was so, I mean, they had a family meeting. Like, I'm like, my fucking family blows, man. Nobody would even care.
No, my entire family was up in arms about a fight that I was not even in.
That's a lot of stress. So, I'm just going to throw that out there. So, it's a lot of stress.
Needless to say, I was like, Edwin, you're coming to BravoCon this year because I cannot deal. But
I think we should get in a huge fight and start wrestling in the middle.
We should. But speaking of huge fights and major issues, Monica's mom on Salt Lake. I've actually never seen anything like it.
I literally wanted to call her, like, I don't even have her number, and FaceTime her and, like, give her a virtual hug. Because it made so much sense to why her exterior is the way it is. She's been hurt so bad by her upbringing. To be not only abandoned by your parents, her dad left her at 4, her mom left her at 12, sent her to a house and said, I got a new life in New York. Go stay with these people that she doesn't even know, has have to be fucking devastating.
Well, what I did see was a completely different side than I did from Monica at Angie's Easter party. And I wish that Monica would have stayed off social media last week when she had to weather that storm, because then she made a lot of, you know, I think decisions that made her look a little...
Yeah, but then her mom did the same thing. Her mom was on social media and was also doing the same thing. I feel bad for Monica. I feel sad for Monica.
What about how Monica says her car is in her mom's name, but Monica pays for it? She says when her mom gets mad at her, she takes the car, which she did after Easter at Angie's house. Her mom said, I want the car by 4 p.m. or I'm calling the police saying it was stolen.
It's disgusting. Obviously, she went through a divorce. Her credit's not good. Her mom.
Then go get a car. Go get a freaking Honda Civic from CarMax.
I don't think it really matters. Well, I don't know. Maybe it does. But I think that.
It does matter. She's renting a Range Rover. Stop.
Listen.
Stop trying to keep up with the Joneses and get a car that you can stably have that's under your name so your mom cannot take away your car.
Okay, just listen. When I left my ex, I had terrible credit. And my mom co-signed for me to get an apartment. And my mom gave me the down payment for that apartment.
Did she take it away from you repeatedly?
She didn't, but she helped me out. And that's what a mom does.
I understand. If you're going to help somebody out, then you don't take it away.
Well, that's on her mom. That's not on Monica.
No, that's my point.
Okay.
Your mom has repeatedly shown you that she doesn't support you.
But you said go to CarMax and get a Honda. Like,
but I'm saying that at this point, your mom... she said my mom does this every time she gets upset at me. She takes the car away. She does this. She needs to gain her
freedom
away from
her mom. But it's a cycle of abuse that she's used to being in. Like, her dad left her at 4. Her mom abandoned her at 12. But, the whole thing is sad. It's heartbreaking. It makes you understand Monica a little bit better, just like you understand sigh a little bit better knowing her history. You can't, you don't know what somebody's going through. And I think this is a perfect situation if you just don't understand.
I think I'm actually just confused why Monica had her mom even come on the show.
Yes, I agree with that. 100% agree with that. Why did she have her come on the show? Did she know that it was going to be explosive? Did she have an agreement?
Clearly, you know. Yeah. This has been happening their entire life.
And I don't know. I mean, we're only, what, 6 episodes in? Something like that for Salt Lake City. It has not one episode has been disappointing. They are doing an amazing job. Not only the cast, but even the production company that works with them is amazing. From the music to the everything.
Everybody looks great. Everybody's done to the nines. They're doing fun activities.
It's great.
John, Lisa's husband, I loved him this episode.
He's cute. He's so sweet.
He was being funny. He was making jokes. He gets emotional about how proud he is of Jack. But then Lisa, listen, we love you, Lisa, but the fact that Jack and your husband are having this like moment and then you chime in like,
and this one time I had this roommate and she was like my stalker. And then, you know what? And I walked in and she was wearing my clothes and she looked just like me. And she said, I just want to see like how do I feel being you for one day? And she's like, oh my God.
And Jack's like,
all I want, mom, is what is it? Death liquid or death?
Liquid death.
Okay. Jack's like, mom, all I want is liquid death. A charcuterie board. Okay. So she says, mom, all I want is liquid death and a charcuterie board and frosted tips. That's all I want, mom.
Yeah. I mean, it was rough going. That was a rough conversation.
I was just like, wow, he knows what a charcuterie board is. I can barely say the word. I call it a cheese board.
He's a little bit bougie.
Yeah,
he's
I mean, Jack has no value in what she says, clearly.
No, but the fact that she even thought that story was going to go well, like I know.
It was such good TV. I love Lisa.
I love her because she's just so not aware. I mean, I know my kids start rolling their eyes and like I shut down within like 20 seconds.
She's like, when I got a Range Rover, I tell them exactly what I want.
What leather seats? I need the white leather. And then I need the leather. Hunter green.
And I need it all. And they don't even like question me. I just get the Range Rover that I want.
And then they expedite it. They say it's going to take 6 months, but then I get it in 6 minutes. Just who I am.
But with Jack, I have no control over where he's going.
And how many people know what Jack's thinking before me? It's weird that Jack isn't sharing with me, but I also haven't taken a breath in 642 hours.
I just want what I do is
talk about myself, and that's just who I am.
What I want. God, I love her. She's such great TV.
Love her. We can't wait to hang out with you.
Yeah. And can I just ask a question?
What?
Because I had this conversation with Spencer. I went to his house the other day. I try to go once a week to go visit him. Me and Sophia go to visit him because he's at college right now. And he has, you know, decorations in his apartment are pretty sparse.
What do you mean decorations?
Well, he's got
posters.
He's got posters on the walls, you know,
like stuck with a pin or
He put them in a frame.
Oh, that's how I am.
But then he has like a whole display of liquid death water bottles.
Well, I don't.
I'm like, why?
I don't know, the same reason that my son is going to be Prime.
Prime is a big thing.
Prime for Halloween.
But isn't that like a TikTok thing?
Isn't
that where it came out? TikTok?
He is a blow up water bottle.
Yeah. Yeah. We went camping and there was a bunch of little moto boys that were riding and Johnny was like, Prime. And they were talking about Prime. And I'm like, what the hell's Prime? And they're like, oh.
It's Prime, boys.
Yeah. They're very into Prime.
Yeah. Prime, yeah, Liquid Death.
Never heard of all it. The Liquid cool guys Death, are doing though. It's
Eddie, do you drink Prime or Liquid Death?
Liquid Death.
It's
good.
But it's guys, water, babe.
For the record, it's water out of a can.
So we went to Milwaukee and we went to the Harley like event and everything, and they were handing out Liquid Death. And I'm like, what is this? It's
water.
It tastes better out of a can.
It tastes like water.
I can say this. I don't like Evian out of a bottle. It tastes weird to me, but all the others I can deal.
Oh, God.
Okay. Then we get to Whitney bringing up to Meredith how she said she can ruin Angie K's life with the information she has. This is like when they're going cross-country skiing or God knows
By
what.
The way, don't you feel like the viewer said, we want to see more of the
Utah.
Snow. We want to see more of the snow. And now they're beating a dead horse. Every episode, they are either skiing, snowmobiling, or cross-country skiing.
Or ice picking. They're like Elsa and Anna.
Yes. I'm like, okay, we get it. They live in the snow.
Yeah. Well, then Whitney says she didn't realize it was Meredith at the time, that Meredith's dramatic Instagram post. Oh, because of the driving and the car accident and Meredith's near-death experience.
Okay, so Meredith was hit with a question and she quickly changed the subject to, the car crash.
Yeah, she said, Whitney's essentially saying that Meredith exaggerated the extent of the car crash for sympathy.
Well, take it back a little bit. I feel like Meredith was asked a question by Whitney and she said, you often share rumors about other cast members. And Meredith's response was, no, I don't. It was, let's talk about how you drove past me when I had a car crash and you didn't even ask how I was doing.
How would she know that was her?
She didn't. And I feel like Whitney explained that afterwards. She's like, I didn't even know it was you. I just saw a Range Rover who everybody, including me, drives a Range Rover. And she said, it wasn't until you posted about it, your near-death experience. Then I said, oh, my God, that must have been you. I saw you.
Listen, I don't even drive. So
yeah, I know. So everything traumatizes you.
Everything does. But know what did traumatize me?
Mary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mary really did. Because
I knew you were going
to
say that.
Mary asking for someone to bring her to-go box only to then get the box and ask the server to do it for her. Is peak Mary chaos. Like that.
Would you have not done that?
If I'm going to ask for a to-go box.
Yes.
Then I would put the food into the box myself. If I was going to hand the food.
And say, do it yourself.
And say, please do this for me.
And by the way, she left without paying.
all of Mary, I really.
Mary, what are you doing? I feel like Whitney was being endearing. She's sitting down. She was talking to her. But as soon as Whitney brought up the fact that she sent her these horrible text messages.
Which they actually were horrible.
They were horrible. They were putting down her looks. They were really horrible. However, calling somebody a predator is not nice either.
No, they both were.
I don't think Mary knows she's on a reality
show.
Listen. I'm just throwing that out there.
Listen, I don't even think Mary was upset about being called a predator. I think she was more upset about the drink being spilled on her leg and her outfit that she needs to return.
Oh my God. That was, and then she's like, why didn't it spill on Whitney? Like, why me?
Yeah, because she seemed like she was in a pretty good mood. Like she was like a 7 out of 10 in the mood. Until the spill, and then she lost her shit.
She came in hot, honestly. Whitney said she missed Mary at Angie's Greek Easter brunch. And Mary said, I didn't miss it.
It's like, I guess I just don't understand
Mary at all.
I don't. I'm really trying because I do think she makes me laugh. There are things that she does, but I think she makes me laugh because I'm so uncomfortable with how rude she is.
Well, I will say that Mary is very stuck on the predator word. And it's a strong word. I get it. If somebody calls you a predator, that's not nice. But she had every opportunity to sit down with Whitney and talk about it. But as soon as Whitney brought up her issues with her, she's like, I'm out of here. I don't need this. I'm out.
She likes to make Whitney feel bad about herself. It gets
little girl.
It gets her
little girl.
Listen, sweetheart, you little girl.
Little girl.
Yeah.
Well. I mean, Mary said she didn't come for this. So what was she expecting?
She said, "Wake up, bobblehead!
I didn't come up for this.
I'm not wasting my time with you."
Mary gets up and leaves.
I know.
Bobblehead. I don't know if I would be upset with being called a bobblehead.
I would love.
I
would love to be a bobblehead. That means you're really skinny, right? I want to be skinny with a bobblehead.
Then what about when Lisa throws the mission reveal party for Jack? He finds out he's going to Columbia. Lisa cries. She tries to pretend she cries out of excitement, but really she's crying out of offending the whole world.
She offended the entire country of Columbia. By the way, I found this scene very interesting because I never knew that there was like a reveal party for missions. It was kind of like they said, a gender reveal party. I never even knew that would exist.
But also, he was holding the paper open the whole time.
Well, I thought it was a call.
I thought it was going to be an email, like when you pass the bar exam. Not that I've ever passed any exam, but if I did, I know that you have to type in a code and then you get your thing. I didn't know he was going to have an open letter that he'd already seen.
Yeah. But I love that Lisa compared her G-Wagon to getting her way with Jack.
I mean, it's just a lot. It's a lot. I do think
it was so Lisa. I mean, there's no other way to explain Lisa than to talk about a G-Wagon and what she's wearing.
Then we get back to Monica meeting up with her mom, Linda.
Okay. Can I just say this? That was an 11-minute scene. Most housewives don't even get 11 minutes in one episode.
I don't think I got 11 minutes my entire third season.
Yeah, well. So that was a big deal. And I was so interested, loved the entire scene. It was so raw, so real. And does anybody have an aspirin? Because I have a headache just from watching it.
I mean, the fact that she kept looking, but also production at this point, throw her two Advils. I can't take it anymore.
I mean, how many times is Monica's mom going to ask for an aspirin?
Because she's already hungover. She's had so much to drink. Okay. She's now gone into the hangover. I did not, but clearly you could tell the eyes were red. They were beating out. Things were not going well.
I mean, she was so rude.
She also called her daughter a weak ass bitch and a motherfucker.
Well, she goes, did you just call me a fucker? She goes, no, I called you a. I'm like, oh my God. Literally, double down on that, Mom.
Listen, Linda wasn't leaving that dinner because she wanted Bravo to pay for it, and she was not going to get up upset before her salmon.
But I loved her line to Monica. I didn't abandon you. I had to start a new job, and I couldn't afford you. Oh, thanks, Mom. I had a job in New York, and I couldn't afford you, so I gave you to some friends. Okay, that made it so much better.
Do you believe that Linda actually wants to go to therapy?
No, but can you close your eyes and watch that scene and not know who's speaking? Because the two of them sound exactly alike.
Well, also, they make the same expression. They'll be like, the other one's talking, and it's like me, 6 days, my prime Botox when nothing moves. And I'm just watching Linda. I'm like, why did you sign the dotted line? Why? Did you really think there was going to be a positive
for 11-minute scene? That's what it was. Listen, an 11-minute scene.
Okay, so I have a question for you to close this out.
Yes.
Would you rather
I will not make out with you. I've told you a million times.
Listen, it's not happening. You're so obsessed with me.
You're not my type.
Get her drunk.
Show me your tits.
Okay.
Anyhow, Linda.
Yes.
Would you rather have Linda as a mom or the Rumors as a best friend?
The Rumors? Who the fuck are the Rumors? What are you talking
about? Meredith! The Rumors!
As a mom?
Best friend!
Oh, okay. I would take Meredith all day long as a best friend. I actually like Meredith. I think she's fun.
When you say actually at the beginning, I've told you this repeatedly.
God, you always look into things. I like Meredith.
All right, guys, we will be talking to you soon because Bravo's not messing around. They're dropping everything right now. We've got Beverly Hills. We've got Potomac.
Yeah, they're making our job very tough.
Well, they're making it very good because we're getting to the juicy stuff. No. Peace out, New York. Hello, Potomac.
Yes, I can't wait for Potomac and Miami.
I know. It's going to be so good. And we've got all the BravoCon content coming in hot. So thanks, you guys. And we'll talk to you soon.
It's the Kia Summer Sticker Sales Event. So give your friends something to look at. Like a B&B with an ocean view. An endless field of wildflowers. Or a sunset that needs no filter. Make this a summer to share and save with a capable Kia SUV or powerful sedan. See your local Kia dealer or visit Kia.com to learn more. Kia,
Movement that inspires. Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Sale applies to purchase of specially tagged 2024 vehicles only. Quantities are limited. Must take delivery by 7/8/24.
Hey guys, this is Paris Hilton. Trapped in Treatment is back, and this season we're taking on WASP, the Worldwide Association of Specialty Programs and Schools.
They held us in dog cages. They starved us. They beat us.
He was trying to brand us. So we were going to become the McDonald's of kid treatment.
Join my host as they unravel the story of the largest and most shocking organization in the history of the troubled teen industry. Listen to season 2 of Trapped in Treatment on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
As important as choosing the right destination when traveling is choosing the right travel partner.
Gene! Gene Fodor!
Gene, what's good?
But be careful, because the worst trips result when two partners have two different agendas.
The CIA really need your help, Gene.
Freeze, Americano! Huh? Oh!
Gene, run!
Listen to Fodor's Guide to Espionage on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.